Greetings, everyone. Let's dive into the crypto regulatory updates around the globe, starting with Australia. ASIC seeks High Court appeal on Block Earner crypto financial product ruling. On 21st of May 2025, the Australian Securities and Investments Commission announced that it will seek special leave from the High Court of Australia to appeal the decision of the full court of the Federal Court in the Block Earner case. The ruling had held that Block Earner's fixed-yield crypto lending product did not constitute a financial product under the Corporations Act 2001. The issue is centred on the statutory scope of the definition of financial product. ASIC has stressed that this definition was designed to be broad and technology neutral. The regulator has made it clear that certainty from the High Court is necessary to determine the regulatory perimeter for interest earning and asset conversion crypto products. The High Court will now consider ASIC's application on a date yet to be fixed. This development carries major implications for compliance strategies across Australia's crypto sector. We will closely follow the proceedings and bring you every update as the matter progresses. ASIC Chair Joe Longo outlines AI blueprint for banking at ABA conference. On 23rd of July 2025, ASIC Chair Joe Longo delivered a keynote at the Australian Banking Association's annual conference in Sydney. His address, titled AI, A Blueprint for Better Banking, explored how artificial intelligence will reshape the Australian banking sector. Longo affirmed that ASIC will not block responsible adoption of AI. However, he issued a clear warning. Cutting-edge technology cannot be allowed to harm customers. He emphasised that obligations under the Corporations Act 2001 already apply to directors and licensees deploying AI. Practical examples were highlighted. Westpac is trialling AI for fraud detection, NAB is using AI to spot systemic complaints, and CBA is deploying AI bots to counter scam calls. ASIC's enforcement strategy, Longo said, will be bolder and more imaginative, relying on existing powers rather than prescriptive new rules. With consumer trust in AI still weak, Longo urged banks to demonstrate ethical, customer-focused innovation. He confirmed ASIC will act swiftly if AI is misused. This is a pivotal development in regulatory oversight of financial technology. We will keep tracking ASIC's AI agenda and report further updates. ASIC appeal in Finder Wallet case, dismissed by full court of the Federal Court of Australia, clarifies crypto staking activities, not a debenture. On 24th of July 2025, the full court of the Federal Court of Australia dismissed ASIC's appeal in the case against Wallet Ventures Pty Ltd, formerly Finder Wallet. The regulator had argued that Finder's fixed-yield product known as Finder Earn was a debenture under the Corporations Act 2001. The court rejected ASIC's position and confirmed that Finder Earn was not a debenture. It held that the product did not involve money deposited with or lent to Wallet Ventures and therefore lacked the essential features of a debt instrument. The decision upholds the earlier ruling of the federal court and confirms that Wallet Ventures did not breach licensing or disclosure obligations under Australian financial services law. Importantly, the judgment illustrates the difficulty of applying traditional statutory debt definitions to novel crypto yield and staking models. The ruling provides some clarity for issuers of yield-bearing crypto products, but it also highlights gaps in the Corporations Act that may require legislative reform. We will continue monitoring developments on this front and update you on any future amendments. ASIC Investor Alert, unlicensed crypto futures offered by Bitget breach Australian financial services laws. On 28th of July 2025, the Australian Securities and Investments Commission issued a public warning against Bitget and its related entity, BTG Technology Holdings Limited. The regulator confirmed that Bitget has been offering crypto asset futures products to Australian investors without holding an Australian financial services license, as required under the Corporations Act 2001. ASIC stressed that investors using these unlicensed products lose critical statutory protections, including dispute resolution mechanisms and client money safeguards. The regulator also drew attention to the extremely high leverage levels marketed by Bitget, up to 125-1, far exceeding the legal cap of 2-1 permitted for retail clients in Australia. Such over-leveraged products expose retail investors to significant risks of severe financial loss. ASIC's warning is consistent with actions taken by regulators internationally, including recent steps by the Japanese Financial Services Agency. The alert underscores ASIC's determination to curb unauthorized crypto derivatives activity and to protect Australian investors from unsafe trading practices. We will report further as regulatory responses unfold. Now moving on to Hong Kong crypto regulatory updates. Hong Kong Monetary Authority issues guidance on crypto staking from custodial services. On 7th of April 2025, the Hong Kong Monetary Authority issued a circular titled Provision of Staking Services for Virtual Assets from Custodial Services. The guidance establishes regulatory standards for authorized institutions wishing to provide staking activities as part of their custody operations. The HKMA defines staking as the commitment of client virtual assets to proof-of-stake blockchains to support transaction validation, with rewards returned to clients. The circular requires authorized institutions and their subsidiaries to maintain possession and control over staked assets, including private keys and exit messages. Institutions must also adopt strong governance measures, risk controls, and clear disclosures. Clients must be informed of lockup periods, fees, payout schedules, and risks such as validator slashing, hacking, and technical failures. Where third-party providers are used, institutions must exercise continuous oversight through monitoring and due diligence. The HKMA further encouraged testing of staking models under its supervisory incubator for distributed ledger technology, launched earlier this year. This circular reinforces Hong Kong's regulatory focus on innovation, balanced with robust investor protection. We will closely track how institutions respond to these requirements. Hong Kong SFC Circular on Custody of Virtual Assets for Licensed Trading Platform Operators. On 15th of August 2025, the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission issued a circular to all licensed virtual asset trading platform operators under the Securities and Futures Ordinance, CAP 571. The circular sets mandatory custody standards to safeguard client virtual assets and responds directly to global failures in custody arrangements. Licensed platforms must appoint a responsible officer or manager in charge to oversee custody. Cold wallet infrastructure is to be built on offline key generation, certified hardware security modules, and secure backups. Withdrawal addresses must be whitelisted, with multiple independent verification checks and signing devices kept air-gapped and dedicated solely to custody. Where third-party wallet providers are used, the SFC requires strict due diligence, including independent code reviews, segregation of duties, and continuous audit testing. Licensed operators must also establish a 24/7 security operations center to reconcile on-chain holdings with internal ledgers in real time. The framework aligns with Hong Kong's wider consultation on statutory licensing of virtual asset custodians. It forms part of Initiative 3 of Pillar Safeguard under the SFC's Aspire roadmap. This is a decisive step in embedding investor protection within Hong Kong's digital asset market structure. We will continue reporting as implementation progresses. Moving to next, Singapore financial developments. Singapore, MAS and Brunei, BDCB, strengthen cross-border financial cooperation with MOU on collateral framework. On 14th of August 2025, the Monetary Authority of Singapore and the Brunei Darussalam Central Bank signed a Memorandum of Understanding at the 5th BDCB-MAS Bilateral Roundtable in Brunei Darussalam. The agreement establishes a reciprocal cross-border collateral arrangement, enhancing liquidity management across both jurisdictions. Under this framework, financial institutions will be able to pledge eligible assets in either market to access funding in both Singapore and Brunei. This step expands the pool of collateral available, supports operational efficiency, and strengthens financial resilience in the region. The meeting also reaffirmed the long-standing currency interchangeability agreement of 1967, with both regulators committed to commemorating its 60th anniversary in 2027. Discussions further highlighted expanded cooperation in payments, connectivity, and regional financial stability. This MOU represents a significant milestone in ASEAN's monetary cooperation, embedding greater flexibility and resilience into cross-border liquidity frameworks. We will monitor how this arrangement is implemented in practice and report on its regional impact. Here are some financial updates for small companies in United Kingdom. UK FCA approves London Stock Exchange as first Pisces operator, a capital markets reform to boost private companies. On 26th of August 2025, the United Kingdom Financial Conduct Authority approved the London Stock Exchange as the first operator of a private intermittent securities and capital exchange system known as Pisces. This initiative creates the world's first regulated private stock market. Pisces will operate within the Financial Market Infrastructure Sandbox, established by HM Treasury earlier this year. The platform will allow shares of private companies to be traded on an intermittent basis, bridging the gap between private funding rounds and full public listings. The FCA confirmed that the framework permits models such as periodic auctions and limited continuous trading while ensuring investor protection. The London Stock Exchange plans to launch its private securities market later in 2025. This marks a major milestone in UK capital markets reform, unlocking investment opportunities and providing private companies with a regulated pathway to liquidity. A permanent regulatory regime for Pisces is expected by 2030. We will continue to follow this reform and its role in reshaping capital markets in the United Kingdom. Here is what has happened in August in United States of America. US SEC Division of Corporation Finance clarifies application of United States securities laws to liquid staking. On 5th of August 2025, the United States Securities and Exchange Commission's Division of Corporation Finance issued a staff statement addressing liquid staking. The division confirmed that liquid staking activities, as defined, do not constitute the offer or sale of securities under either the Securities Act of 1933 or the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. The statement applied the Howey Investment Contract Test. It concluded that staking providers' functions are administrative in nature and do not meet the requirement of profits being derived from the efforts of others. Staking receipt tokens were clarified as evidentiary instruments representing ownership of deposited crypto assets, not securities in themselves, unless linked to an investment contract. The division cautioned that where providers guarantee returns, exercise discretion over staking, or add yield-generating features, securities law obligations may still arise. The statement therefore provides operational clarity, but does not replace detailed legal analysis. This clarification extends earlier SEC positions on protocol staking and is a significant interpretive stance on the regulatory perimeter for liquid staking. We will continue to follow developments and update as the SEC's approach evolves. US SEC Commissioner Caroline A. Crenshaw issues response to liquid staking guidance, caveat liquid staker. On 5th of August 2025, United States SEC Commissioner Caroline Crenshaw released a formal response to the Division of Corporation Finance's staff statement on liquid staking. In her remarks titled Caveat Liquid Staker, she sharply criticized the statement for resting on unrealistic assumptions and lacking endorsement by the Commission itself. Crenshaw stressed that the staff's position is not binding guidance. She warned that providers relying on the statement risk exposure if their business models deviate from the assumptions laid out. She emphasized that no safe harbor has been created and that regulatory obligations could still apply. Her dissent reflects broader division within the Commission over the regulatory treatment of staking arrangements. While staff guidance suggested narrow exclusions, Crenshaw cautioned that many real-world models may still trigger registration and disclosure duties under securities law. This response underscores the uncertainty facing staking service providers in the United States. We will continue to track both staff positions and commissioner views as this debate within the SEC unfolds. United States SEC put Cboe BZX proposal under review to permit staking in VanEck Ethereum ETF. On 19th of August 2025, the United States Securities and Exchange Commission published Release Number 34-13743, File Number SR Cboe BZX 2025-114. The filing seeks approval for a rule change that would allow the sponsor of the VanEck Ethereum ETF to stake some or all Ether held in the trust through staking providers. Under the proposal, rewards generated from staking would accrue directly to the trust as income. Custody of Ether would remain with the custodian, ensuring assets do not leave the trust's control. The sponsor confirmed it will not pool assets with third parties nor promote staking services to investors. The SEC will now consider the application within a 45 to 90 day review period. Public comments have been invited, referencing the filing number. The decision will determine whether staking may be formally integrated into a listed U.S. exchange-traded fund structure. This review represents an important regulatory moment for the evolution of Ethereum-based ETFs in the United States. We will continue following the SEC's process and provide updates as the review advances. United States SEC Notice of Filing and Immediate Effectiveness to Amend Box Rule 3120 on Bitcoin ETF options. On 20th of August 2025, the United States Securities and Exchange Commission published notice of a filing by Box Exchange LLC to amend Rule 3120. The amendment raises position and exercise limits for options on the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust ETF, the Bitwise Bitcoin ETF, and the Grayscale Bitcoin Mini Trust ETF. These products are now removed from the fixed 25,000 contract cap under IM 3122. Instead, limits will follow the graduated thresholds in rules 3120 and 3140, which adjust according to trading volume and shares outstanding. The SEC waived the standard 30-day operative delay and designated the rule effective immediately upon filing. Surveillance and reporting requirements remain unchanged, with large option position reporting coordinated with FINRA and intermarket oversight groups. This rule change brings Box Exchange into line with other venues where higher contract limits have already been approved. We will continue to track the comment process and any further SEC proceedings. United States SEC notice on Box proposal to raise position and exercise limits for iShares Bitcoin Trust ETF options. On 20th of August 2025, the United States Securities and Exchange Commission published Release Number 34-103747, File Number SR Box 2025-22. The notice covers Box Exchange LLC's proposal to amend Rule 3120 for options on the iShares Bitcoin Trust ETF, known as IBIT. The amendment removes IBIT from the fixed 25,000 contract cap under IM 3122. Position and exercise limits will now be set under Rules 3120 and 3140, based on trading activity and shares outstanding. With more than 866 million shares outstanding, IBIT currently qualifies for the 250,000 contract tier. The SEC designated the filing effective immediately and waived the 30-day operative delay. Large option position reporting requirements remain in force, coordinated with FINRA for market surveillance. This adjustment recognizes IBIT's market size and aligns its trading limits with comparable exchange-traded products. We will follow the comment process and provide updates as the SEC's review develops. U.S. SEC appoints Judge Margaret Ryan as Director of Enforcement Division. On 21st of August 2025, the United States Securities and Exchange Commission announced the appointment of Judge Margaret Meg Ryan as Director of the Division of Enforcement, effective 2nd of September 2025. She succeeds Acting Director Sam Walden, who will return to his role as Chief Counsel of the Division. Judge Ryan is a senior judge of the United States Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces and a lecturer at Harvard Law School. Her appointment signals the Commission's continued emphasis on robust enforcement of federal securities laws, particularly in the areas of fraud, manipulation, and market integrity. SEC Chairman Paul Atkins welcomed her leadership, citing her judicial service and commitment to investor protection. He also thanked Sam Walden for his stewardship and confirmed his ongoing contribution as chief counsel. This appointment ensures continuity in enforcement at a time of heightened scrutiny over crypto assets and systemic risks. We will monitor the division's priorities as Judge Ryan assumes office,